It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to Declare Your Independence of me, Ernest Hancock, on this beautiful Monday morning. You guys awake? You guys ready? Running rock and roll and whatnot? What happened to your weekend? Oh, that stuff happens on the weekend, so much so that you never really get a weekend off, you know what I mean? It is the 19th of July. What does that mean? I don't know. It means like stuff happens. There is, it keeps spiraling down. You know, you want to know what the warning signs would be? Well, we've been watching them for years, decades. But they're not recognized until, you know, your ox gets gored. This is one thing that I, you know, is, well, I'll tell you what happened. This weekend, I went and saw the movie Inception. And, you know, a lot of times I'll use a movie to kind of have a common language. And it's easier to be able to just say something like, did you take the red pill? You know, the power of Rome doesn't come from the marble of the Senate, but the sands of the Colosseum. A line from Gladiator. From Patriot, Mel Gibson. You know, tell me, what's the difference of having one tyrant 3,000 miles away ruling me from 3,000 tyrants 1 mile away? You know, a legislature will stomp on a guy's rights more just as much as a king would. You know, another good line. You know, all of these movies that I use a lot to have, you know, it matters not. He is your king. One of my favorites from Braveheart. He goes, you've been accused of treason. What do you have to say for yourself? Against whom? You know, against whom am I, you know, accused of treason? Against your king. Hey, I never pledge allegiance to him. It matters not. He is your king. Lord of the Rings. Oh, don't tempt me further. Gandalf says to Frodo, you know, you give me this ring of power, you know, I would try to do good with it, but through me it would wield such evil. All of these blockbusting movies have, you know, something in common. It's usually the individual against the collective. Inception is different. It's going to be a huge, huge blockbuster. I'm sure it already is. But there's a reason why. It forces you to think. To think a lot deeper than people have been, you know, trained to do. This is one thing that George Carlin, the comedian, was really, towards the end of his life, in the last few years, man, he would just going off on government, off on anyone that would control, off on, you know, people that would tell others what to do. He was for the power of the individual. He's also for, you know, getting through reality. He's like, look, you know, religion, not the same as God or a relationship you have with, you know, whatever. You know, religion is this organized, controlled, ruled insulator between you and the greater authority. You know, I'm really getting my dose of this controlled everything. Because it's all about your heart, your mind, your soul. What would George Carlin say? You know, we'll talk about this. I really want to dissect this. I wish I had the DVD to use some of the clips from Inception, but it brought up something that I want to share with you. I got another movie I'm going to pick apart forever. And you stay right there and I get you all prepped without being a spoiler.
There are those that just want to be left alone.
and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. Yeah, we're gonna bring in a whole bunch of new observations and so on, with a bunch of new movies, bunch of new music, bunch of new, because it's time. You know, we got to elevate our game because they're elevating their game. This is, you know, the big thing that they're doing now. We've been talking about it, is that they have to get control of this internet thing. I sent out an email. I have several email lists, okay? And one of them, I'll go ahead and explain this to you so you guys understand. What if, as a young man, you're in your 20s, you're looking for the truth? I mean, you're not looking to be loved. You're not looking to be part of a club. You're not looking for a shiny badge. You're not looking to have influence. You're not looking to, you know, be in charge. You're not looking for whatever. You're looking for the truth. How does that affect your life? I mean, your decisions, what it is that you do, what the kind of actions that you take. You know, because I understood, you know, from the beginning, I just want to know the truth. So I make a big deal about it. So a lot of our logos are, you know, we know the truth. You know, we have a logo for that. We have, all kinds of stuff. Truth, justice, and what used to be the American way. Truth, 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 truth. Can it have, you know, peace or love or trust without truth? Truth, truth, freaking truth. How do you unlearn the truth? This is a very important aspect of what sends us on our merry little ways. You know, where we go from the beginning, how it affects what we do, what we say, who we communicate with, who we live with, who we love. So I always went from the search for truth. That's what drove me. I just wanted to know the truth. And I told this story a couple of times. You know, I'll share it with you real quick so that you understand. There was it was right after high school. You know, it was there was like 3 years there. You know, I worked for a year, lived in my own apartment, you know, got out of the house and, you know, just wanted to, you know, I'm a young teenager, you know, get me out of here. And I sustained myself, saved money, went to college after a year. So I was more mature. I went to, you know, I pledged a fraternity and so on. And it was a logical one, you know, for party reason and everything, although there was a benefit with that. Had your little sisters and all that kind of stuff going around and taking care of you and everything. So I went because it was cheaper. I could live in a fraternity cheaper, had access to the resources they had, like old tests and everything. I was in engineering and so on. And, you know, your social and meals and all that kind of stuff was taken care of. It was cheaper. But I had lived out a year, and I came in, you know, I was like became the social director guy or something for the freshman class, even though I was a year older and had lived out in the real world. I didn't just, you know, have a couple of months in the summer and hanging out with the fam and, you know, and here and everything paid for me and go. I paid for it myself. And when I got to go to the bathroom down the hall and you got to brave the racquetball balls, you know, everybody racquetball, right? Oh, somebody's going to the bathroom, you know, and all this hazing stuff and everything. And I was like, you know, seriously? You know, this is my money, you know? And my whole focus was I just wanted to learn. I just wanted to know the truth. I just wanted, I was focused. So I went a semester there, and then a friend of mine got a job with Eastern Airlines. She had to go to Miami to get her training, and her boyfriend and I helped her move to New York, and I wound up staying there for a few months. And during this time, from there, making it my way, you know, back, I started, you know, working in corporations, opening restaurants, doing, you know, all kinds of stuff. 3 years, I didn't do anything but read books. For 3 years, that is when I got my education. That. Science magazines, science fiction, books, read the Bible straight through twice. You know, I just because. You know, I'm like, yeah, might as well just, you know, get this, you know, so I can, you know, speak from authority to myself. I didn't give a crap about anybody else. I wasn't trying to, do nothing. I just wanted to know what this whole thing was about. So I read the King James Version straight through. That was a freaking plow, and these and thous and whatever, because I thought I might miss something. I didn't trust New Translation. Then I did the Good News Version, and there was a church I was going to in Fort Worth, and they, didn't, breathe fire and brimstone on the Good News Version. So I'm like, okay, fine. I'll go straight through. That was a lot easier. So I go through and I get it. There's an old and there's a New Testament. They call it the new for a reason. And there used to be where you just had the New Testament. It was, it was the Christian Bible. It was kind of, this is, peace, love, justice, truth, tranquility, kind of good stuff, right? But then they kept slapping it together with the old. Well, fine, cool. You can, get references back and use whatever. But I mean, it was amazing to me how the churches over the years, I've been paying attention for the past, 30 years, how it was right at that time when I first came, they're really pushing the Old Testament. I mean, it was because it gave more central power, authority. It wasn't about the individual. It wasn't the resistance against the collective. It wasn't the rebel Jesus saying, no, 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 you guys have bastardized this thing, man. I mean, oh, heck no. It's about here. It's the Beatitudes. It's the benefits. It's the good. It's the positive waves. So I really, turning over the tables of the money changers kind of thing. If you want to take away the power of truth, you just distill the truth, the good in humanity, the truth. You got to link it up with all this other crap and then, kind of pull from and piecemeal and do what you want, which is what? I don't know what. It's all collective. I mean, I can tell you that, it's about putting you back on the plantation. Christ was about, hey, man, split a piece of wood, stack a stone, man. There's your church. Here I am. Let's rock and roll. Let's get on the mound and start preaching out here. It's not about temples. It's not about all this other stuff. But they had to make it that again because people were getting off the reservation. Oh, heck no. If you read it straight through, you can see what was happening. You can understand the mind of the people that were responsible. Does anybody even know what the... what was they call it? Council of Nicaea, I think it was. The canonization of the Bible. It had to come together from somewhere. God didn't all of a sudden, do the whole Bible in stone tablets somewhere. It was in the minds of, and they wrote it. Heck no. It was a council. It was a group of people. What shall we put? You ever heard of the Apocrypha? It's like the Catholic Bible. I'll tell you how I found out about it. I'm sure it's not a lot of secret to a lot of people, certainly now, but 10, 15 years ago, I never even heard of it. There's the Catholic Church has a different Bible. What? So there was a Bible that I was looking through one time, and it just happened to come across a quote. I do that a lot. I used to a lot. I just, flip the Bible, boom. If something's going on or nothing else to do, I just felt inspired to do it. I just, all right, what by chance, God, fate, whatever happened, scripture happened to be in front of me. All right, cool. A lot of wisdom in there. I like this one. I did that one time, and it was a card I sent a friend of mine for something. It was birthday or anniversary or just cause or whatever, a good friend of mine. And I sent him a verse in there and quoted it, and he's like, where the heck did this come from? What book is that? I don't know. Right here, man. I don't remember that one either, but it was out of the Apocrypha. Well, you get a Catholic Bible, it has more books in it. And I started looking at them. I didn't read all those straight through, but I can start. But they were a lot darker. They were a lot more, the sin of man kind of thing. Okay, why did these come out? King James Version of the Bible. Why did they take these ones? Then you had Thomas Jefferson, the Jefferson Bible. He's like pulling out certain, and he wasn't, hiding it. He's going, look, man, let's cut through the crap and get, down to the nitty gritty. And I'm just going, so all of these different Bibles are just men deciding, picking and choosing and doing whatever, which I, fine, whatever, just, FYI, so we know. And and if I have to look in, everybody gets on it, well, it's in the Bible, then it must be which one? Which one? Pick one, man. I don't care which one. Now, as far as I'm concerned, you got this New Testament thing, that kind of like new, that trumps old, Nope, got it all, says you. So I'm going, you have to get more introspective. You have to come inside. You have to determine truth on your own. Because if you don't, it's somebody else doing it for you. You know, that was the power of the printing press. That was the power of the internet of the day. Martin Luther. You know, Martin Luther, he was, you know, the Lutherans and so on. This is where this all came from. They, you know, he's like, you know what? You don't have to go to a priest, you know, to learn the truth. Yeah, you want to know, it's right here. Print it. Here, learn to read, man. Rock on. Peace be upon thee. Oh, heck no. Heck no. We got to, you know, give what the truth is. Oh, and then it comes from, if we want to change or deviate or give an example of what it means, we're going to ask, the Pope, and he'll tell you. So I'm going, oh, I see. It's a control mechanism. And there's a method that has been used since for freaking ever. And I can see it happen. They do it in government. They do it in religion. They do it in any way to get control of your heart, your mind, your soul. And we can free ourselves. We'll talk about it when we come back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Inception. What is this movie about? It is something that has been going on our entire life, entire history of humanity. I'm going to explain. This is going to be a very important movie in just opening people's minds to a simple thing that I don't think a lot of people understand. I don't know if they understand. They don't realize. They haven't come. I'll give you an example. When I first, it was 1995, I guess, 97, 95, it was in mid-90s when The Matrix came out. You have to understand, those that have asked for the truth, I mean really the truth, not to justify some predetermined they already know what they want going to do thing. I mean, just open your mind and I just want to know the truth. I just want to stop being lied to. I'm good. You know, I get it. There's an entire tapestry out here that's focused towards one thing. What is it? Whatever the heck it is that the guys putting it up on the screen want me to think. Certainly on television, certainly on radio, certainly guaranteed on the news. More certain out of freaking government, okay? I mean, let me tell you, government schools, let me tell you what they're going to teach you. Love the government, okay? I mean, whatever it was, whatever the problem is, the solution is government. It'd be worse without the government. We got to have government, all right? So what supports that? Well, you know, religion is a threat to that unless it's in support of the government. So what do? You give them special tax breaks and all this kind of stuff, and they get out of hand, you're going to go get them. And then to bring them in even more, you do faith-based initiatives, you know, come out of www.warmonger.com's administration, and it goes into Obama, and he expands it. I mean, you're starting to see a trend here. You know, then you have, right now, the Department of Homeland Security shut down over 79,000 WordPress websites. Just came in and said, you know what? Wouldn't be prudent at this juncture to allow this to continue. Facebook accounts. You show a Gadsden flag, don't tread on me. You got a little bit of, you know, kind of rebellious whatever. Boom, done, shut down. Alex Jones, Prison Planet stuff. You know, he's got a Facebook, boom, shut down. Now, of course, you got, you know, individual fans out there doing the internet is too diverse. It's too. I mean, heck, even Freedom's Phoenix stuff, archives of Freedom. We got archives on three different networks, on our servers, on people's own. Got, you know, this and disk and backup and parallel drives under my desk. Kind of done. Okay, it's forever. And the more they do to it, the worse it makes it for them. It's almost like here's $20. Go ahead and shut it down, so I make a big deal out of it. You know, I don't understand what it is they think that they're going to be able to do, but that's not going to stop them from trying. When I saw The Matrix the first time, as you know, you're becoming aware of what's really going on, and that you're just in a dream world. You know, this whole thing that you're living in is just a manufactured projection of whatever it is they want you to be thinking or doing, or the envelope they want you operating in. And that's why you'll hear me sometimes. I'll play that. You know, I hear you. I know you're out there. You know, I'm going to hang up this phone. I'm going to show the people what you don't want them to see: a world without you, without rules, without regulations, without limits or boundaries or borders. There's a world without you. You do not want them to see this. Well, the makers of that film, you know, they were, you know, I'm like, did I see what I think I saw? Went and saw it again later that afternoon or the next day. I mean, just to sit back and, I mean, there's people seeing that dozens of, I've seen it, I came dozens of times. You know, every now and then I'll just put it in, you know, and just kind of, and you pick out little bitty more, you know, just one more little detail, little message in there, so on. It's just amazing. I can go, you know, as many times as I go, I didn't see that before. In the background, a certain number on a door, a symbol somewhere. So you're going, there's multi-layer on this one. Well, a lot of movies are like it. Some of them are more overt, like Wag the Dog. Man, they're just showing you exactly how they do it. You know, Dustin Hoffman and Robert De Niro. You watch Wag the Dog, man, you just, man, they're pretty overt about it. So then you have Inception. Let me explain. I don't have to spoil the movie or give any spoilers out. Just give you this. It'd probably make it easier for you to understand watching a movie. And I'll probably watch it again. I get the DVD. We'll pull cuts from it, blah, blah, blah. And don't worry, it'll be on DVD in a couple of weeks. I mean, you know, they from movie theater to DVD, don't waste any time. I guarantee it's going to be out before Christmas, I can tell you that. So I'm going, okay, what's the deal here? Inception is referring to the inception of an idea. How do you, if you could say somebody, you know, don't think about boats. Don't think about boats. So you think about boats, don't think about boats. You know, so you can't tell somebody not to think about something. You know, that it doesn't work, all right? You can't have this thing I don't want you to have. You know, you telling people not to do something is counterproductive to the people saying you can't. It just creates teenagers wanting to do it anyway. If you can plant an idea in somebody's subconscious, in their mind, really base early on, it can redefine the entire individual. What if you could get in someone's mind and do that? Television, radio, movies, talk radio. What if you could do that? How hard is it after they're adults? When would you have to do it? How would you do it? With technology? Or just want the government to have preschools?
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
What's the most resilient parasite? An idea. A single idea from the human mind can build cities. An idea can transform the world and rewrite all the rules. Which is why I have to steal it.
From the director of The Dark Knight, one of the better Batman movies with Joker, Heath Ledger, man, that was good. You know, I'm going to watch that again. This is a very, very, very interesting movie. They did it well. You know, it's Leonardo DiCaprio. They got the young girl from Juno. I can't remember her name. She did a really good job. Like, you know, it's fine. You know, production values, special effects, blah, 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 blah. But the whole point is he's an extractor. The way it works with technology and chemicals, they, you know, get somebody, they drug him, they have him, you know, fall asleep. He's on a plane, he's in his bed, he's whatever. And they hook him up and with their little gizmo, they don't get a whole bunch into that, doesn't matter. They go into their dreams. A lot of people now that are younger don't remember movies like Brainstorm. And that was a Dreamcatcher and some of these others that were all about you going into people's dreams. Well, it was very, 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 very interesting. And what the concept was, imagine corporate espionage. somebody knows a number to their vault, a number, a secret that they want. They want to extract information from someone. They want to get the CEO of whatever and have them tell them what they're going to do with the whatever. And in a dream, you can kind of, you know, create a situation in which you can, you know, get them to divulge stuff because it seems real to them. And then they start doing, you know, funky stuff where they're going a dream inside a dream. Like you can wake up from one of the dreams and then you think that you're, okay, I'm awake, and then you're, you know, calling you into whatever. The idea, though, what Inception is that they are approached with the concept, can you not extract information, can you plant an idea? The reason this is such a big deal is because to make somebody think something, have an axiom, have a truth that is apparent to them that can change every decision they ever make through the rest of their life, they really, it's difficult to plant something inside you as a truth when you already have a deeper truth. I'll give you an example. Freedom's the answer. What's the question? If you come to the realization that you have a truth that more freedom always creates a better result, regardless of all the little blah, 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 and you can, and life experience gives you the idea, you know what, if I'd just been more free to make what we would have learned more, been better off, you know, not be dependent on whatever, you know, your reasoning for that. If I read something, and I've had this pointed out to me before, I'm going, wow, how can people, I believe this, I don't, and one of my friends, very intelligent guy, he goes, Ernie, you do the same thing. I go, what are you talking about? When you look at the newspaper, or even look at Freedom's Phoenix, Freedom's with an S, phoenix.com, we have a lot of stuff on there from the left, the right. I'll put, you know, the lefty Louis Commie Noam Chomsky's new book, Daylight Review on whatever kind of, you know, there's truth in amongst everything else. And if you got a wide tapestry of information, you start to see, you know, common truths, especially if you got freedom is the answer. It doesn't matter what I expose you to, because you can filter through whatever it is, and they give you some, no, freedom's not the answer. It's tyranny in the form of whatever. You just discard it. Or you don't even read the story. Or you don't even go past the headline. You're going, yeah, blah, blah, blah. I already know where they're going. It's just a waste of my time. So he's saying, Ernie, you do the same thing. You know, when you're reading the New York Times and you see, you know, government saves planet, the economy is good because Obama did whatever. I mean, you know, I don't read it. Even when we put up in Freedom's Phoenix, I don't read a lot of crap. You know, I just go, you know, look, here, you know, they want to have their say. You want to get exposed, you know, you read it, don't read it, criticize it, make comments on it, knock yourself out, okay? We have our own personal filters that are based on some predisposed, preconceived, base fundamental understanding of whatever it is. You know, what if it is something that has to do with evolution? Some people are creationists are going, nope, don't even care. Don't care about the logic. Don't care about what it said. Don't care if it's a, you know, fossil of the handprint of God. It doesn't matter. Okay? Don't want to have nothing to do with it because you already have a you will intentionally reinforce whatever it is that you got hard printed in your mind. So what happens if you can change that? What if somebody was able to get into my mind and go, freedom is not the answer. Freedom is dangerous. Freedom is scary. Freedom produces death, dying, and destruction. Freedom is not good. Worship of the state is. Duty of the collective, blah, 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 blah. Entire cultures are built on that. Japanese culture. It's always about duty to, you know, an honor to them through support of ancestors and emperor. The collective. I got exposed to this in the mid-90s, 93, 94. And it was Japanese television came over after the Brady Bill was done. And we had our, you know, libertarian gypsy booth, you know, down at the gun show. And we're always doing, you know, FIJA stuff, fully informed jury stuff, and Second Amendment stuff, and safe Second Amendments for everyone was going strong then. And we were, you know, doing the concealed carry initiative and getting that issue out. We finally got signed here in Arizona a couple months ago. It goes into effect in like a week. Yeah, you know, we win. It only took 15 years. So what happened was they came and they like, you know, I don't see that America is disarming. A Japanese television, South Korea magazines, Germany, West Germany at the time. I mean, all these people, and there was one reason. We didn't find out till later what it was. It was the debt. When George Bush Daddy said, you know, read my lips, no new taxes, and then raised them, and this militia thing came out, kind of like the Tea Party thing that's going on now, they freaked. They went, you know, you got Southern Poverty Law Center going out. Everybody, oh, heck yeah, we are going to extract more from you. You are going to pay more taxes. No, this, you know, anti-tax thing, there was some fundamental truth inside people's heads that they were like, they had to change. You know, how do you unlearn the truth? How do you change the idea that, hey, these people are just stealing from us? It's just another bank robbery. It's just, what about the bailout? What the heck are they doing to us that they can change us at a fundamental level that we allow this kind of stuff to go on? Is there a limit? Well, in Japan, they were investing in our debt, just like China has a big, giant chunk now. You know, well, the other guy still got a big chunk. It just kept growing. Somebody had to get it. So they were of the mind, how are we going to ensure the return, our investment? If we buy the U.S. Treasuries, they're rising up. They're rising up against demand. We got this militia thing going on. We got, you know, so what'd they do? You know, they go after Waco, you know, you got the Oklahoma City bombing, you got all these laws and terrorist stuff, and you know, we got our slaves under control, getting them on the plantation, yee-haw, and disarming them. Here comes Japanese television, and they had an American producer and so on, spoke English and such, went to the gun ranges with us, wanted to be our buddy, and I gave the interview, and I went like this. I go, because we have different cultures. You cannot understand our perspective. In America, the entire creation, our heritage, and the creation of this country was based on the idea that the only function of government was the defense of the rights of the individual, which is life, liberty, property, our ability to defend against ourselves. We can't delegate. You can't delegate anything to a government that you don't have the power yourself to delegate. You can't give them a monopoly on force because you have that power amongst in yourself. You give them certain delegated powers to, you know, go police and do and then and whatever, but it always gets out of hand. But at the bottom, at the base, fundamental, at the inception of the idea, at the fundamental creation of this country was the purpose of government, defense of individual rights. That is our heritage. Japan, not so much. It's not about the individual. It's about duty to the collective. You cannot understand the importance of that. But will humanity demand it? Will the individual, as time goes on, are we as a species evolving toward the autonomy of the individual? Is there force and threat of force and laws and regulations that would keep you from being able to protect or defend yourself from an outside aggressor? I mean, like outside your personal space. You know, what happens when the emperor comes in and says, thou shalt whatever? You know, your crops now belong to us. You're not allowed to have a sword. You're not, I mean, there's always dissent. As time and technology goes on, empowering the individual increases. I give you the internet. I give you the Colt Peacemaker. I give you the printing press. I give you, it's always technology, communication, energy, transportation, the ability to produce food, shelter, clothing. I mean, the materials, all of the advancements of humanity empower the individual to be less dependent on any kind of a collective as if they ever were anyway. So they want to create these farms, as Stefan Molyneux says. You know, you look at a map and you see all these lines, these boundaries, these kind, they're just farms. It's just different methods of farming human livestock. How can you organize them in such a way to serve the state? Even the Laffer curve you keep hearing about, we talked about that last week. He was a speaker here in Arizona as a guest of the Goldwater Institute. Paladin Tiger and I, we all went down there. Freedom's Phoenix covered it, you know, promoted it, traded out tickets, you know, for advertised banner ads on the site. And we go and whatever. And we just, after a few of these, the Goldwater Institute, we just don't work with them anymore because, you know, we were always so critical of their thing. They're like, even though I know these guys, they're like, look, Ernie, man, we're not, you know, promoting it for you to come to make fun of us, you know, which I'm, they didn't say out loud, but, you know, that's certainly the impression. I go, look, man, we're not, no, heck, you can do stupid stuff, man, we're calling you out on it. And the Laffer curve was, if you have zero taxes, then you collect zero revenue for the state. If you have 100% taxes, well, you're probably collecting zero revenue for the state because, you know, what's the point of doing anything if they're taking everything you got? So his point was is that they're in there somewhere as a maximum revenue point for the state. You know, and he would say this, you need to keep taxes low, but on everything. I mean, everything. The transaction, the VAT tax, the this tax, the, you know, give me a big giant laundry list. Look at all these taxes. You keep them low, but on everything, you can maximize the money to the state. And I'm like, that's a proper role of government to see how much they can extract from the people for what purpose? I mean, is it, you know, go defend against the evil hordes of, you know, the alien alphas and whatever coming to, you know, take me over with their, you know, death rays? I mean, what why am I doing this? So I asked him in public there, you know, raise my hand, you know, okay, why? Why aren't you about, you know, having the maximum amount of, you know, whatever you need to make sure you have a structure that would maximize how much money I get to keep, not how much you get to take? And without hesitation, he says, so we can spend it. Dummy. Oh. He's arguing for the collective. We need to extract the most cash we can out of the livestock, and this is how you do it. Okay. So what's the truth? Farms, man, you're just livestock. You complain too much, you know, you're in the way too much, you know, stuff happens. All right. How are they able to get away with this? Entire cultures have been built on that concept. Egypt, Roman Empire, you know, whatever. It's usually just brute force. What you cannot stop is an idea. What happens when you are able to plant an idea deep in someone that is a truth that sweeps away everything else? That's what the movie Inception was about. It was easy to get, I don't say easy, but I mean it was much, you know, less impossible in the movie to extract information. You know, they just know something. You're going to trick them in a dream to get them to divulge their password, their, you know, where their secret little stash hideaway girlfriend, whatever. Okay, they don't get too much into it in the movie, you know, they spared us all that crap, but that was the concept. What was difficult is to plant an idea deep enough in the mind of somebody that it would sweep away all other things and totally change the direction of their life and what they would do. That their personality and their decisions were based on some deep-seated understanding, truth, goal, whatever it was, realization, something. The inception of an idea, you go to someone, you say, you know, why did you think of that? You know, you think, I don't know, boats sink, okay? All boats sink. Why? Where'd that come from? I don't know. I just thought all boats sink. Well, I guess not. You know, just kind of sweep that away. If you get deep enough to where you've, like, tricked somebody or every time they got on a boat, it sank. You know, after about five or six times, they're thinking, you know what? I'm not getting on boats anymore. I don't consider boats to be safe. They may be the only five boats in history that ever sank. You know, you just happen to step on them. But you know what? After a while, you kind of, you know what? I'm not a boat guy anymore. If you can plant something like that in somebody's mind deep enough, it'll sweep away all other stuff. Boats don't sink. Heck, they don't. So as an example, that's what this is about. This is what I got out of it. From this movie, in the next hour, I'm going to go ahead and tell you how I see what's happening. We'll talk a little bit in the next segment. But I just want to build up to this that I can see. You ever hear me say, the government spends a lot of money on a lot of things. And my biggest optimism is the fact that they have to spend trillions and trillions of dollars over generations to try and turn a human being into a battery for the machine. Government schools, education, propaganda, corporate media. Why? They're trying to plant something. What? Stay right there. We'll talk about it. And blew my mind. We'll be right back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Let me tell you why you're here. You're here because you know something. What you know you can't explain, but you feel it. You felt it your entire life, that there's something wrong with the world. You don't know what it is, but it's there, like a splinter in your mind, driving you mad. It is this feeling that has brought you to me. Do you know what I'm talking about?
The Matrix.
Do you want to know what it is? The Matrix is everywhere. It is all around us. Even now, in this very room. You can see it when you look out your window or when you turn on your television. You can feel it when you go to work, when you go to church, when you pay your taxes. It is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
What truth?
That you are a slave, Neo. Like everyone else, you were born into bondage, born into a prison that you cannot smell or taste or touch. A prison for your mind. Unfortunately, no one can be told what the Matrix is. You have to see it for yourself. This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes. Remember, all I'm offering is the truth, nothing more.
Just the truth, nothing more. What I want you to take out of this is that I've come to this realization from a different perspective. If the root thing in your head is seeking the truth, and you wonder where that comes from. I was always curious as a kid, you know, and my dad, he was an exaggerator. I mean, why is the grass green? Well, because of, I just gonna have to go find out myself, you know. And he kind of got me in the mindset of going looking for, I mean, he always embellish, you know, is the best way to put it. And I'm just going, yeah, whatever. I go find out because I wanted to know the truth. I just wasn't satisfied with somebody, you know, saying something. I'd be, you know, a lot of science kind of stuff, biology, and I was just interested in stuff. And along came the internet, and I knew there was an entire generation of people just like me. They just wanted to know the truth. Well, what happens when you can find it? What happens when it's peer-reviewed? What happens when there is a Facebook of a bunch of people that are going around, you're asking questions amongst your friends and so on, and they, you know everything. You know, or at least it's being reviewed by 1,000 other minds in your peer group. What happens then?
I know you're out there. I can feel you now. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. I'm going to show them a world without you.